Now, Nate mentioned some signals to help boost your chances on that crucial first date. But what about other signs? Could you be emitting information maybe from your armpits without realising it? What would a sniff test reveal about you? So with us to discuss some of these more intimate issues of couple compatibility for producing babies is Robert Winston, again, Emeritus Professor of Fertility Studies at Imperial College London. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
So tell me a little bit about the smell of love. What do we know about what attracts people in terms of their smell?
Well, the interesting thing about pheromones is you may not actually smell them. I mean, they may be imperceptible, but it's been clearly shown by a number of people, Craig Roberts, for example. And Craig has shown in his rather nice work that, one experiment we did together many years ago was to take T-shirts which had been worn by young women undergraduates who I hadn't met, sadly, who had slept in these T-shirts for two nights at the mid-cycle. They were not on contraception. They were not eating curry, not smoking, not using spicy food.
Didn't have bad BO.
And then I had to sniff them in a blind test. And I used the word advisedly, rank them in order. And actually what was interesting was that completely blind, because I'd been tissue typed, so and so had they. So it turned out that the ones whose tissue type was most compatible with mine, those were the pheromones I least liked, while the people who were most dissimilar, I immediately scored quite highly in a completely blind test. So it's quite a nice example, I think, of how pheromones may work.
And obviously, smelling someone's horrible, sweaty, sporty BO is a bit of a turn-off. And there's a huge industry in people spraying on perfumes and all kinds of things to cover up or change their smell. Is that interfering? What would be the most attractive smell to find, or the best way of finding the right smelling partner for you?
Well, I think we should ask you that. I don't know. But we have to be very careful about drawing those conclusions. But of course, don't forget that quite a lot of people find the smell of Philly Rank's Met not unattractive, particularly at times when they're making love. So, I think that it's not very simple. It may well be that in public places we find those sorts of smells quite disgusting. But I think what I think is interesting about pheromones is that you don't need to actually be able to smell them with your olfactory system in the usual sort of way. And, of course, the olfactory system is extraordinarily sensitive. You can detect, one part in, several hundred million of a molecule. So it is extraordinary how we do that.
And in terms of finding this kind of compatibility, if you're thinking about, making babies with someone, Is it a way of making sure that you're going to make compatible babies or even be able to make babies at all?
Well, that's the theory. The theory, of course, is that if you are genetically dissimilar, you're less likely to have a mutation which is recessive, which is the same on the same allele of both partners. That's the theory. And certainly we do know that people who marry dissimilar people are less likely to have deformed or genetically damaged children. So there's some evidence for that.
And in terms of fertility and trying to make babies with someone, hoping to be compatible with them, are there any signs that maybe people could look for to see if someone is fertile that they might want to have babies with? Is it a deep voice for men? We heard about the changes in women, big hips. What are some of the
myths? I don't know, but I would say that the best way to find out whether someone is fertile is to have sex, and have sex often. and not necessarily the mid-cycle, by the way, because, of course, although it's been stated on this program just now that ovulation occurs on the 14th day of the cycle, in a 28-day cycle, but doesn't always, and sometimes people can even ovulate during menstruation. So that's why I'm slightly querulous about some of these tests, because actually it's not quite as straightforward as we sometimes kind of put out.
Yeah, the inside of a lady's body isn't made of clockwork.
Nor a man's either.
No. So in terms of if you are trying to make some beautiful babies, if people are in the mood this Valentine's Day, are there any things that they could do, maybe that they could eat or ways that they could try and
boost their
chances?
Oh, that's what it's about. It's about Valentine's Day.
Well, feel like love all the time. What could boost people's chances of conceiving if they want a Valentine's baby?
Have a drink.
Not too much, though.
Well, that's another myth, because, in fact, there's all this dreadful politically correct stuff going on about alcohol now and pregnancy, but actually the evidence that alcohol in moderation is in any way dangerous to pregnant women is very, very dubious. And certainly,
I'm talking more about if you have too many and just pass out before you can get to it.
I'm not arguing. No, I think we all want to have consensual sex. No, I don't. That's a different issue.
But if you're going to a restaurant,
yes, but I think, going to a restaurant restaurant, having a pleasurable occasion. It's all part of loosening those inhibitions, isn't it? I mean, what is quite interesting, and I don't want to bore you about this too long, but we did some research many years ago where in a large cohort of infertile women who are undergoing various treatments for infertility, not only IVF, what we found was that people who had regular orgasm were actually less likely, they were less likely to be infertile. And moreover, if they were infertile, they would usually have a specific cause for their infertility. People with unexplained infertility often were more likely to be anorgasmic, and that would suggest that orgasm and contraction of the genital tract may have something to do with fertility. So again, pleasurable intercourse.
So having lots of fun if you're out there having a fun Valentine's Day. Thank you very much. That's Robert Winston.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith, and also with Kat Arney. If you'd like to get in touch with us here at the show, it's at Naked Scientists. You can also email chris@thenakedscientist.com. And on Twitter, Kat, you've been rebranded not as Kat Arney, but Kat Army. I'm not sure if you're fond of our feline friends, but you appear to be the leader of an army of them.
I'll go with that.
We're talking about the science of love in the anticipation of Valentine's Day this week, and the